Blog Talk Radio.
Better get ready.
What you gonna do?
The Lord is doing
what you gonna do.
What you gonna do?
You better get your heart to the Lord.
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
Delighted to be able to come across these airways on tonight. I hope and pray that you had a beautiful day on today at Mass, at various churches that you attended on today. And I just hope and pray that God met you there. Hallelujah. And I just want to know that I'm just delighted to be able to come across these airways in your workplace, delighted to come across these airways in your living room area, and then being able to ride on down the dangerous highway and byway with the old ship of Zion on your radio dial. And I just thank those of you that so kindly tuned in on tonight. I'm coming in relatively late on tonight, but this is the only slot that was available, so, you know, I just thank God anyway, because he saw fit to still plug me in. And I just thank God, and I thank God for you and you, because without you, there would be no need for me to be here. But God got people like yourself that you love God and you love the divine word of God. And I just thank God for you so kindly tuning in on tonight. And so I want to take this opportunity to send my regards, my condolences out to those of you that have lost loved ones within the last 24 hours, in the last 5 hours, 4 hours, 2 hours, the last 30 minutes. I want to send my condolences out to you, you and you. And may God just enlighten you, and may God just take the hurt and just, you know, just put it in the sea of forgetfulness. Because I know God is a healer. And I know that we are hurt when we lose our loved ones. I'm not saying don't hurt, because it does hurt, you know. And I cry right along with you. You're not crying alone. My heart's grieved for you as well. And I know without a shadow of doubt what it is to lose a loved one. I'm all so familiar with the phase of losing a loved one. So I know what it is like. I don't have to, you know, guess about it, you know, but I know what it is. And so I know that it takes time, but I know that God can heal a broken heart and a wounded heart. God can put all things back together again. So I just asked and God on tonight to just bring back joy and bring back restoration of your heart on tonight. And we will be so mindful to give God the glory and honor and all the praises. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, we're going to go right now on into our opening prayer. We come on with an opening prayer to acknowledge the one and only Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He's our Lord and our Savior, and he's also the keeper of my soul. He's the joy of my salvation. And I'm talking about no one other than Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He's our soon coming King. He's our soon coming Messiah. He's our soon coming Lord of Lords. And so we're going to go right now on into prayer. And I'm hoping that you will go down in prayer as well with me and bow your beautiful heads, if you will. We're going to go right now into prayer. Father God, we come with a grateful heart on tonight. Sovereignty of your love unmeasured, God. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for enabling us to gather in unity once again around this spectrum, God. For we're coming from the north, south, east, and west, God. And for we know, God, that this earthly planet is not our permanency home, God. But we know that you have lying in reserve, God, a mansion that's not built by the hand of man, But you are his architect. You are his creator. And until you crack those clouds, one historical day, God, will be coming and will be going as children. Hallelujah. Pilgrims in this barren land. Well, we're children as well, but we'll be going as pilgrims through this barren land, God. And I'm asking you on tonight, Father God, to anoint these lips of clay, God, to bring a rhema word to those that may or may not know of you in the pardons of their iniquities. I'm asking you, Heavenly Father, to grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom, to those that are hurting so deeply tonight, down in the epitome of their souls. Father God, we would be so mindful to give your name all the glory. We won't steal no praise, God. We'll give you all the praise. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And we will let the church say, amen and amen. Hallelujah. I will be with you tonight. 45 minutes on the clock, and we know right now that our clock is yet ticking right along. And so we're going to go on into our scheduled program, and our night sermon entitled is The Fight for Our Families. I want to say that again. The Fight for Our Families. And as you know, we are fighting for our family. We're in a battle. We're in a battle of justice as well as injustice, right as well as wrong, good as well as bad, differences as well as indifferences. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we know that the Bible records a history of complex family relationships. We know that many of which we would today call dysfunctional. We read stories of incest, sibling rivalry, infidelity, and family strife. The scripture records the classic case of sibling rivalry between Cain and Abel and between Joseph and his jealous brother. We witness dissension between Jacob and Esau, and David's story is rife with family strife and tension. Although our culture often idolizes the family as a nurturing and supportive haven, we know that the reality is that this portrait is often shattered by chaos, crisis, and conflict within the family. In our American family, we find out there's drug abuse, there's domestic. There is violence, hallelujah, there is divorce, also gang involvement. All too often, sympathetic of relationships that appear to be dysfunctional. How can the family prevail amid experiencing of abuse, experience of incest, experiences of adultery, experiences of infidelity, experiences of deception, experiences of jealousy, sibling rivalry, hallelujah, low self-worth, and neglect. We find out that Paul offers a helpful way in which family members can relate to each other. He proposes a family life in which mutual submission is expressed in humility, in love, and service. And we can look into the law of Ephesians 5 and 21 through 28. Paul's ideal family is one in which Christ is modeled in his everlasting capacity for love, for marriage, hallelujah, and a dissolvable union of body and spirit, and children taught and nurtured in God's love. We know that the battle to maintain strong family relationships is fought not only by human effort. The battle we engage in for our families is not just sociological, but spiritual. Paul makes it clear that believers must be strong because they are in spiritual battle against the devil. The believers need divine armor in order to stand. Paul recommends the defensive equipment of truth, righteousness, faith, and and salvation. The gospel of peace, as well as offensive, hallelujah, equipment of the sword of the Spirit to aid us in withstanding every trial. Although the forces of evil may be hostile, aggressive, they do not have to defeat us. We are fighting from the position of victory between we have the Lord of hosts with us, and the armor of God is our defense. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We know that in the divine drama of redemption, God has often used families and communities to fulfill his purpose. God chose Noah and his family to begin the process of populating the earth. Later, he called Abraham and his family to be the instruments through whom redemption would come to all nations of the earth. Still later, he used Jacob and his family to preserve his people and demonstrate his sovereignty among the nations. Even at the scene of the cross, prior to Jesus' death, God reaffirmed the importance of family and relationship. Although Jesus has reached the culminating moment of his life and ministry, we know the significance of his suffering and death did not cause him to now discount his family relationship. On the contrary, we know that mutual love, respect, and affection between the mother and son were evidence, even then, especially then, in his dying moment. Oh, hallelujah. Their deep devotion had been formed in the crucible of suffering, the knowledge of his ultimate ordeal. We go in the law of Luke 2 and 35, and in their mutual hope and expectation of this mission, in the final moment of his life, Jesus is comforted not by the presence of his mother, but also by other members of the family of faith, including John, the beloved disciple, and Mary Magdalene. In this critical moment of his impending death, Jesus gathered members of his biological and spiritual family into a new community. As he dies, Jesus exclaimed, "Woman, behold thy son." John, the beloved disciple, assumed the role of son to Mary and welcomed her into his household. Mary Magdalene and others at the cross are drawn together by the community experience of grief and disappointment. But at the moment at the cross and later at the empty tomb, the seed of new humanity were planted that would burst forth into life. Hallelujah, Pentecost. At the very center of this community, the family was drawn together by the Savior at the moment of his death on the cross. We know that he drew it together as a promise of the family of God. That community reconciled to God in Christ, who shared the ministry of reconciliation. That's found in the law of 2 Corinthians 5 and 18. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we also know that the fight for our families, we fight for the right of others. We fight, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. We fight for equality. And I know that when I was growing up, I learned that some of the information my parents shared with us as children at home was not to be divulged outside of the home. It was the family's business, and business stayed at home. And in this letter, Titus, Paul encouraged his son to teach the church how to function as a family, how to function as disciples in the community of God, and how to pass along some vital family businesses. The lesson was simple yet profound. We know that something can always be learned from the past. Older and more experienced Christians should train the younger. Not every precept is sensual. There are some absolutes that guide life in Christ and in communities. True discipleship requires discernment between right and wrong. Everybody is inexcusable, ill, unrelated. Each person has a role to play. Roles are differentiated by gifts, skills, and age, experience, and each is essential within the family. And finally, someone is always watching everyone. Verbal confession must be accompanied by personal examples. One should practice what he or she preaches. Indeed, as important as it was in Paul's day, for a new generation, our disciples to be exposed to the family business of church doctrine. It is just as critical for African Americans to embrace the tenets and experience of wisdom of our foreparent. As we survey failing families, crumbling communities, we realize that we too need to learn Paul's lesson of historical communities, sound, moral, ethics, living, and collective responsibilities. Without the guidance of our past, our families will lose its way into the present. To survive as a community, as a family, as disciples of our Lord Jesus, let's make a covenant to keep passing on our family business. And what is in the home should be kept in the home. Because we can also be a family model in our fight for our families. Hallelujah. We know that in this society where we're struggling for equality of the sexes, we read in the law of 1 Peter 3 and 1 through 12, may seem obsolete at first glance. On a closer study, however, we know that the passage seemed a natural continuation of the teaching of the New Testament Church on the power of love to bring God's people together. Wives and husbands are urged to love and respect each other. Wives are urged to submit to recognize their husband's role as the head of the house. The wives is urged to live a pure and relevant life as a means of winning her husband to a saving relationship with Christ Jesus. Moreover, husbands are admonished and to be considerate of and thoughtful toward their wives and give honor to them. This teaching does not suggest that one partner or another possesses inferior or superior status. It does stress that husbands and wives should serve one another with love and humility. Christian family are urged to have compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, be rending, not evil for evil. We find out that in the law of 1 Peter 3 and 8 through 9, these are words of refreshing, gentleness, and flexibility. In a world where all too often people seek revenge and retaliation, we know, hallelujah, that a significant difference can be made in our society. If members of our family were determined to begin to practice forgiveness, reconciliation, and love one for another, rather than to carry on practices of abuse, denomination, and retaliation. Our prayer tonight, oh God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have deepened our love for each other. We praise you for all the joy of our home and family. Help us to practice love instead of hatred, to reconcile rather than retaliate, to exemplify all that is Christ-like in our homes through Christ Jesus our Lord. And we shall all say amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Father God. Thank you. And we know that if we just pray and keep God the head of our life, you know God is going to make the wrong. He's going to make that was wrong, he's going to right. And whatever harm that has been done to you and your family, don't try to retaliate. God said, vengeance is mine. So we are to pray and be prayerful one to another, not in revenge and retaliation, but in love, showing the love of God in our Christ-like lives that we demonstrate on a day-to-day basis. We're not of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world, meaning that we don't do wrong for wrong. We have that Christ-like heart to forgive. And if we forgive others that has wronged us, then God will forgive us as well. But if we hold animosity in our heart and we don't forgive, then God will not forgive you and I. So we know that we're living in a perilous time. We're living in time to where you don't know who to trust. You don't know who to turn to. You don't know where to go. But I come to encourage your heart tonight. It's one place that you can go. You don't even have to ask. You don't have to have an appointment. And that is, my friend, you can go to Jesus, our Lord and Savior, our soon coming Messiah. You can go down in prayer. Pour your heart out to God. Tell him all about your troubles. Tell him all about your trials and your tribulations. God can bring comfort to your heart and your soul like no one else can. Can't nobody love you like Jesus. Your husband can't love you like Jesus. Your wife can't love you like Jesus. Your son and daughters can't love you like Jesus. Your siblings cannot love you like Jesus. Your grandparents cannot love you like Jesus. Your colleagues cannot love you like Jesus. Your best friend cannot love you like Jesus. That is one friend that is closer than a mother. That is not my words, but that is God's words. Right out of the mouth of God. He said, I'll be a mother for you. I'll be a father. I'll be a sister. I'll be a brother. God is friend to the friendless, hope for the hopeless. Hallelujah. In a time like these, we need a Savior. We cannot fight this demonic battle by ourselves. Saints of God and friends and church family and kinship family and you alike, we need Jesus every minute, every second, every moment, every hour, every day, every month, every year. We need Jesus in our lives. And if you think that you can go and on through your life without help from Christ, I beg to differ. I don't care how much money, how much fortune and fame. I don't care how much, But I do not care how much how much clout that you might have in society. You need Jesus. You and your clout. You and your money need Jesus. You, your cars and your mansion need Jesus. There is no one that living and breathing on this planet do not need Jesus in some shape, form, or fashion in your life, whether you know God or whether you do not know God. You need him, because there's going to be a time in your life your fortune and fame is not going to be of importance. Your friends are going to be desertions. They're going to leave you by the wayside. Your family is going to neglect you. This is the word of God. This is not what I'm saying, but this is what the word of God declares. So if I was you on tonight, I would start including God in every area of my life from here forward. You can start again tonight. You can start over tonight. You can start right here, right now, this instant, this moment, this second, this hour, and start including God, implement him in your life. and see how smoothie that your life will become. It will rid all the chaos and hell that you're going through right now with family and friends, with your banker, with your loan shark, with your folks at your workplace. You won't go to bed with nightmares and dreams that you have been killed, you've drowned, you fell off an Empire State Building in your dreams. But you will dream beautiful dreams. You will not dream the horror of nightmares. But you will go to sleep and sleep like a baby. Wake up in your rightful mind, not out of your mind, but in your rightful mind, the mind that God has given unto you. So we're talking about the fight for our family on tonight. We're talking about our dysfunctional family, our family that has encountered incest. We're talking about sibling rivalry in our family. We're talking about infidelity in our family. We're talking about strife in our family. We're talking about gang-related in our families. We're talking about family crisis in our family. We're talking about family conflict. We're talking about family with blood-infected sons and daughters and family and siblings and kinship family, cousins and folks that are dear to our heart. I don't care what your level of work ethic is. You may be a doctor, lawyer. In your family, there's someone that's battling drug addiction. May it be liquid form or powder form. You have family members that are dealing with these demons, and that's what they are. They are demons, spirited demons, that cause you to get hooked. You're not hooked on phonic, but you're hooked on drugs. You hooked on booze and wine, alcohol, sex. You hooked on lying tongue. I'm here to tell you that God is a deliverance. All you got to do is come unsubmissive to God on tonight. Acknowledge that, Lord, I'm a sinner. And I'm tired of this lifestyle that I'm living. And I want to invite you into my life. And as fast as you can get it out your lips, it's a done deal. It's a done deal. God will take all of your sins and place them in the sea and to remember them anymore. And you can begin your life anew. So I hope, before ending, that I've said something to magnetize your spirit and infuse your mind, as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions you would want the old ship of Zion to go down and pray on your behalf, you are most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. Your station has been Blog Talk Radio. Your program has been the old ship of Zion. Send your correspondence. Make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. Till we come across these skyways and highways, you're encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. We will bring you some entertainment for your spirit, your being, I say that. Hope it will encourage you and inspire you on tonight. And I just want you to be blessed. Like I said moments ago, I'm encouraging you to go in God and allow God to go in you. And we will bring you some selections of uplifting songs. And at the conclusion of these selections, we will bring our program to its closure. Till we meet again. Bye for now.
been a victim of circumstance, hit by chance, on the run. And now you need someone so bad, it's so bad. No one knows thank you.
Jesus.